Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, everybody, we're here on AfterBuzz TV doing the after show for 11-22-63, episode 8, One Soldier Down. Look at that. So we're going to be talking about why it's always important to tell an FBI agent that to burn that letter and why maybe it's not so good to go down that rabbit hole. We'll finally find out what the heck is going on with that man with a yellow little Picard in his hat. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh, a little slow rock in there.
Taking it back.
Yes. Look at that. Welcome, everybody. Look at that little David Bowie bringing us in here. A little golden years. Smooth. I feel like kind of apropos.
Smooth.
So yes. Smooth. Nice, smooth. There you go. Welcome, everybody, to the 11-22-63 After Buzz show here. After Buzz After Show? Look at
After
that.
After Buzz After Show, 11-22-63.
I really need that rabbit hole. Where is that rabbit hole in the studio?
You're going to go back and start over?
I need, yes.
Go no, back. But we can't. This is the end.
This is the end of it. I don't want to repeat that loop because I actually said One Soldier Down. It is not. It is actually The Day in Question. That I gave the wrong episode title. So it's episode 8, the Day in Question. That is the episode title for this. So welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. But look at... Who cares about who I am? Nobody cares about who I am. Not when we have this dashing gentleman right next to us with his pocket square.
It's our last episode. I had to dress up in my best 1960s attire, including this pocket square that my roommate's sister brought back 2 weeks ago from Japan.
From Japan, y'all.
Which we looked up is 5,400 miles away. What a journey this pocket square has had.
What a journey.
You can follow me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC, on Twitter at MichaelKlausTV. My Snapchat is on my Twitter in case you really want to see what I do on a daily basis. It could be interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always interesting with Michael Klaus. And then rounding out the panel is the wind beneath our wings, Mary Lou Mandel.
Yes, I'm Mary Lou Mandel. You can find me on all social media at Mary Lou Mandel. And I also got a little bit of behind the scenes before the show footage of these guys for my vlog. So you can find me on YouTube at Mary Lou Mandel.
And before we go on, because this is the last episode, I want to make sure I give a big shout out to James, who's been rocking it in the booth as we've been doing this series. So James, yes.
Killing
the game
in there. Yes.
You're rocking it.
So this is it, the final episode. It's the day in question, guys. We've been talking about where this is going to lead up to, what's going to happen with this, and we finally get our...
It is the particular date.
Yes, we get our questions answered. I guess now we're going to figure out if we're happy with the answers that we got. Yeah.
Did you, overall, did it go where you thought it was going to go? I don't think any of our predictions really came true.
No, not at all.
I was watching it, and I was like, so that's who we did predict that. No, we didn't call that one either. Oh, nope. We did not see that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No. Mary Lou, how'd you feel?
Well, during the show, when I was watching it and Lee Harvey gets shot, right? And I was like, girl's going to die. He's going to go he's going to go back and he's going to get stuck like the guy with the hat. But it didn't quite end. It was a little sappier in the end than I would have liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll break down the episode and then also just talk about the series as a whole. There was an interview with the writer and producer of the series where she had some bites about some choices that she made when she's adapting the book into the TV show that I thought were really interesting. So that we can talk about those too as well.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Yeah. So we'll just get started here real quick. It's the day in question. Of course, as we left the last episode, Jake and Sadie had just fallen asleep there in their cars. They seemed to be parked really far away from Daly Plaza.
We mentioned that last week and you really saw it this week. They were speeding through traffic. They were miles away. Even said at one point, I think, while they're driving, oh, are we going to get to Dallas in time? You left Dallas?
Yes.
What in the world?
That seemed way too far away to make that happen for me. It's like, well, just get a little bit out of this Daly Plaza perimeter, and then don't worry about the cops, I would think. But they seem to go so far away.
So far.
Yeah. And I was thinking time was going to start messing with them and have them get in a car accident. But they didn't. They were able to make that through there. And I do like that Jake, I guess we're seeing that time is starting to change itself because a road that he thought was going to be open all of a sudden is filled with pedestrians. The police have barricaded it off. And I like that it just abandons the car there. And then says like, all right, that's
just
it. We just got to go.
And then there are a couple of points where I was wondering if, you know, they would come into play later where you see Sadie's husband and then you see... Frank Dunning. Yeah. And you're like, yes. And you're like, are these people going to come into play later? But it was just quick flashes.
Yeah, it felt
more
like
mental.
It seemed like time kind of bringing that up really quickly to kind of trick his mind and everything. Yeah, so I thought that was like, I was expecting to see time do a little bit more because we've been playing like such a thing.
Well,
like,
they almost got hit by that car.
But do you think that was enough? Do you think that was enough of time really messing with them? Especially when, as they're getting to such a key moment in time.
I think that it was time showing its force. I didn't think time, and we saw it a
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
A little bit in talking with Bobby Ray when they get up to the school book depository and he's outside and time changes in that he says, oh, I'm closing this for lunch. And in, you know, real life, it's open. And so I think time can only do so much around that without changing itself.
Oh, that makes sense.
So time can't mess with itself and change it too much. You know, it has to say it's true to its form while trying to prevent Jake. So I think there was only so much that it could do.
That is actually a really good point. I did like it. I thought that moment, as much as we were building up to it and we were complaining last week about the time jumps kind of jumping us to this moment. When it got to this moment, though, I thought it started really ratcheting up the tension, though. I was like, the way it was cutting back and forth, I wasn't sure how they were going to play it. Were they just going to let history kind of go as it did and he was going to assassinate him? Was Jake going to prevent it? I like the way it started building up to that moment.
We'll say when they were going up the stairs in the book depository building, like, why did he not run through this before? Why has he never gone up that stairwell before? If he knew that's where he needed to go, why have you never?
You would think boy would be training, doing some stair exercises like 2 or 3 times a week.
But they go up the stairs and then he's like, "Oh, these stairs don't go to the floor."
This is not the right one.
And I was like, "Are you kidding me, Jake?"
And I'm just gonna throw it out there. I think Sadie was dragging him behind a little bit on that.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Oh, poor Sadie. Poor Sadie. And it was interesting, as they're running up the stairs, you see spray painted there in the stairwell, "You are the Patsy."
So, yeah.
Which I guess must have been happening in the real history. And whoever, did somebody say, I don't know, that being spray painted there was weird.
I had that question here.
I felt like it
had
to be something historical, because it is misspelled, too. It's "You're the Patsy."
Yes,
like, not,
Y-O-U-R.
Yeah,
yes.
So then I was like, okay, that has to be intentional, because it's like giant.
Yeah, so I would that is one thing I've never and I've done quite a bit of reading about the Kennedy conspiracy and about the assassination, but I had never seen that detail mentioned before. So I was like, I'm curious about finding out, is that a real touch?
That's a mystery. The clothespin is a mystery.
Yeah,
so many open-ended things in a show.
But they get up to the 6th floor door, and all of a sudden, of course, time starts messing with them again, and they can't open the door. A lot of impossible, possibly hard doors to open. That's what time's big play seems to be.
And you see, I like the anticipation of the time ticking. So I thought it was good.
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, and him just taking a moment as he's maybe at the 5th floor, I think, and he pauses and he looks out and he can see the motorcade starting around the corner, start coming down the street, and it's just like, man, what is going to happen? And it was nice to know that he does have a little bit of gap before the first shot and then the last 2 shots, which were the fatal shots. So he knows that even if the first shot goes off, he still is not completely lost yet. So they actually, he does fire off the first shot, which I'm then surprised, like all of a sudden time kind of eases up its grip and they're able to open the door. And he distracts Lee Harvey enough so that he doesn't fire the last 2 shots.
Yeah, because he misses, the history goes, he misses on the first one and they speed away. I'm also reading that Lee Harvey Oswald shouted, "I'm just a Patsy."
Yes.
So that's where it is.
So instead of being spray painted, because I know that was something that he said as he was being let off into jail. For sure. But what did you guys think? So was that were you excited about that resolution to, is Lee Harvey going to actually succeed in the assassination?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That was obviously one of the big things that we were predicting last week and thinking that he would succeed. And it was like, whoa, okay.
Like,
and
there's no stopping.
Yeah. And at that point, that's a part in the episode where I looked at the timestamp on the episode and it was, okay, we're completely changing this now. and what's going to happen. Obviously, he's going to maybe try to go back and he's going to see how it is. And so I was really interested from that point on of what was going to happen, how history was going to have changed.
Right. Because once the assassination didn't happen, that was only like 20 minutes into the episode, I think. Mm-hmm. So I did the exact same thing. I was like, whoa. And then I paused it just to see where we were. And I was like, oh,
we got
still some stuff that's going to go down.
Yeah, I was excited about that. It's like, all right, so I'm glad they did it so early in the episode so we can kind of see what the ramifications are of this whole thing. But all of a sudden the door slams itself closed again, and they're trapped in the room with Lee Harvey Oswald while he's still got his gun. Jake has a little pistol as well. And as much as he was telling Sadie as they're running up to the book depository, just stick with me no matter what. Once they get inside there, he says, just stay here,
just
stay here.
Down.
And the moment he said that, just like Mary Lou, as you were talking about Mary Lou, I knew that she was...
She's gone.
Gone,
she was gone,
she's gone. Because the whole time, earlier when they're running through the crowd, he's like, no matter what, stay with me. Mm-hmm. And then he's the one that's like, no, 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 stay here. I was like, girl's dead.
Yes.
You just
girl's
killed her.
Dead. And she doesn't yell at all either.
Yeah.
She's just I was like, if you're going to shoot her... Really? She's not going to scream or anything? Mm-hmm. You're going to just afterwards, she's going to be like, oh, Jake.
I know. Oh.
Just hold my hand. Are you holding my hand?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's messed up.
Yeah. I think a gut shot, I mean, I would yell at least, ouch. Mm-hmm. I would be like, ooh. I'd just be like, quiet.
I don't know. The girl did have her face half cut off, so.
She knows pain.
Yeah, that's very true. So
I think it also says something, though, about in Sadie. And I mean, once again, my respect for Sadie grew this episode.
Ah.
It has gotten back to a positive. Oh. You'll be happy to know.
But I feel like when you say that, it's just like barely, it's like 51%, like barely eked over.
51 and a half. You can round up to 52. No. And just learning about her and that she's a very just dedicated person and just a good person and wants to make a difference and make an impact. Just like Lee Harvey Oswald, except for in a different way. And so that kind of says when she was like, we succeeded. We succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really what she kept repeating, and she realized that there was something bigger than herself, and that's what she wanted to accomplish. And so that gave me more respect for Sadie.
All right. And it was interesting that once they're walking around, and Jake is just kind of playing cat and mouse with Lee Harvey up there on the sixth floor. Just Lee Harvey Oswald, just like, you know what, you know, you don't know me, you don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to make my mark on history.
Yeah, quote: "I can do anything I set my mind to. I'm going to make my mark on this world."
Yeah. So that was interesting. But then they get into a little scuffle. I do like that Lee Harvey was enough of a crack shot to be able to get that gun right out of Jake's hand. I was like, all right. I mean, it probably wasn't the intentional direction of that shot, but still, knocks the gun out of his hand. Still not bad shooting.
But as a Marine, I expect you to take Jake down.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're fighting a Marine.
And also, they were having their tussle in the empty box factory.
Yeah.
Right? They, fell into a pile of boxes, and they all just, like, tumbled, and I was like, oh, the empty box factory.
No books in those boxes.
Well, I think that's where they make the boxes, because books are so heavy, you don't want to take them all the way up to the sixth floor, right? Mm-hmm. So you make the boxes on the sixth, and then as you make your way down, you load them up. So while you're down on the first floor, then it's just, like, walking them right out.
Right, right. Okay.
That's how I imagine the book depositories work, folks.
That is a genius idea, Frank.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, James. See, that's why James gets those special shout-outs.
Yes.
Because he supports my ideas. All right, as ridiculous as they may be. But then Jake is, surprisingly, like you were saying, Michael, able to wrestle the gun away from Lee Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't deliberately try to kill him. At least tries to give him a little warning to stop. But then Lee Harvey doesn't, so he shoots him. And it was impressive for, like, just, like, kind of, like, the way he's holding the gun and just, like, kind of the adrenaline rushing that he's able to get him right in the heart and just, like, knock him out like that.
Quick, one shot.
Yeah.
Looking back now, obviously, we know that Kennedy lived. Were you thinking at all that Kennedy might have been hit and killed by that one shot?
I wasn't thinking so, because I figured that...
Because I know history said that he didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't know. Because they do, I think, a decent job in this episode of... They don't tell you whether he lived or died until, like, 15 minutes, maybe? Mm-hmm. At 10, 15 minutes after the shooting?
Right, when they're driving away and they're like, Lancer is safe or... Is that some kind of code word? They were like... He's safe.
Oh, they did? Oh, see, I didn't hear that. And so I was waiting, and interrogation.
Oh, yes.
And they're talking about it there. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know, you know, what the issue was or if you had made it or not.
And speaking of that, just to rewind for one second, it was really cool when Jake and Sadie were running, they finally get into Daily Plaza, and you start seeing those historical figures that we've seen, like, in photographs and video throughout the years, like Zeebruder sitting there with his camera, mm-hmm. and the man with the mm-hmm. black umbrella, you know, getting ready to lift it up. Like, just things like that. The cool idea of running through history that you've seen and maybe obsessed about, like, through school as you're going up, would be kind of cool.
I was contemplating whether there would be a point when he was being let out in handcuffs, which is obviously a counterpart to Lee Harvey Oswald in history doing that, if we were going to have a Jack Ruby moment and mm-hmm. if he was going to get shot.
Yes.
I was thinking that because I was like, wow, this is really deja vu of he's being let out in handcuffs just like Lee Harvey Oswald was. And I was like, oh, is he going to get shot? Is he going to get shot?
I thought so. And I didn't think he was going to get shot at that moment because Lee is dead. Sadie dies. The mm-hmm. cops come in and arrest Jake and he's let in. And yeah, I was thinking the same thing. He's become like Lee Harvey Oswald, sort of mm-hmm. like Patsy of this. And I thought he was going to become the Patsy of the feds at that point for mm-hmm. maybe some other kind of conspiracy. And then after that, let out to the garage and killed by Jack Ruby.
And you could tell that the dejection on his face of like, I have nothing to lose. Like, Sadie's dead. And he just almost like he didn't care. And so that's led to my thinking there as well. Oh, if he gets shot, then it's like, oh, well, he gets shot. He's not really upset about it. He could die right now. Mm-hmm. And then I was wondering, oh, if he dies, what happens? Does he go back? Does start? What happens if you die in the past? So I didn't know if that could have been a point there.
That was interesting, yeah, because then he's led into the interrogation room and talking to the captain, Captain Fritz, and then Agent Hostie from the FBI, who we've seen kind of harass Oswald mm-hmm. a couple times previously. And Jake, it was interesting. Jake starts, you know, he's not really going to give him the one. He's not going to be railroaded into being
he's standing firm.
Yes. Because yeah. The captain's like, oh, you're Alex Adele. You're the one that Lee Harvey had sent to so that he could use. He's, I'm not going to be railroaded to this. And I like the captain's like, hey, you're in Dallas, you know. Mm-hmm. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen to you. Don't worry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the guy punches him in the face in the elevator, right? He's like, oh, it's too bad you ran into that.
Yes.
I was like, oh.
You're in Dallas.
Yes. Yeah.
But then Jake pulls out one other card that he's got to play. He just tells Agent Hostie, like, hey, this is your job. You're supposed to take care of Oswald.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Hostie's like, whoa, all right, let's get.
And I love how he gives him information, too. You know, obviously pulling out the letter mm-hmm. and saying, oh, is this what that letter was? Oh, did he tell you this? And then going a step further and talking about Marilyn Monroe, talking about the Bobby Kennedy surveillance.
Yes.
And
it's like, all the big
guns. By the way, I got all these cards. How about we just lay these out on the table?
Yeah.
It is, and it was at that moment maybe tense because I was wondering, is he going to be able to use those cards and be able to get his freedom out of that? Or is the Fed going to go like, this guy knows way too many secrets.
Yeah,
we got to eliminate him.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah. Or even the worst thing is like they find out that he's a time traveler and they hold on to him to get secrets from the future to be able to kind of manipulate America's progress through mm-hmm. the history and change things in America's favor. I was wondering, mm-hmm. would they go that kind of crazy and do something like that? They did not, though.
No,
they did not. And it kind of just fizzled out. And once again, this was where I was like looking at the time and it's like, all right, I know this is only a one series. They're not going to leave us on a, you know, hanging note. So what's going to happen?
How are they going to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Were you guys satisfied, though, when Jake all of a sudden, basically Hostie just gets him out of the police station, takes him to the bus station, and he's going to be sent back to Lisbon, Maine? Were you like, all right, that seems like it was way too easy to me.
I think it tells a difference between nowadays and then. Of now, you couldn't do that. And they were saying, you know, when he steps up to the bus thing to buy a ticket and says, you know, the TV's on, and, oh, the person is anonymous.
Yeah.
You would never have that nowadays.
No, because his face would be Snapchatted all over everywhere mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. like already on a billboard. They would have already be writing a movie about him.
Yep.
But I was surprised here, though, because so he says he wants to be anonymous and just disappear. When he was in handcuffs walking into interrogation... You all right?
It's okay, Michael. It's okay.
It's okay. We're going to make this together.
Michael said it's the last episode. Don't go, Michael. Don't go.
I can't do it.
No,
I'm going to rabbit hole and do this all over again.
Every time. So there were definitely, you know, reporters in there and photographers in there mm-hmm. taking his photo walking through there. So
yes.
His face is already identified. So how is he disappearing into nothing? I don't know any reporter at any time in history that's mm-hmm. like, oh, you don't want us to show your face? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'll just destroy the film.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I don't know any time that would ever happen.
I was wondering when they were taking all those pictures of what would happen if he goes back to the present. And obviously those pieces of evidence are there. And they're like, hey, you look familiar. Is that you in this picture?
Yeah. Yes.
No, it's my father. We just look really similar at this age.
Yes.
But and one moment as we skip before he heads to the bus station that I kind of glossed over was that moment when he gets brought into the police department proper and he gets that call from JFK and Jacqueline.
Right.
That would be, I mean, that'd be kind of cool eerily to get that conversation when you know at that point he should be dead and you're getting this call from this guy now.
Yeah.
That's pretty important. I mean, you get something like that, and that's where you know you really know that he lives, and you think all is good.
No. He makes it back to Lisbon, and then I was wondering, is Tom going to mess around with anything? But nope, he's able to just make it right back into the rabbit hole. And then this is where the episode kind of disappointed me, because he comes back into modern day 2016, but everything's in ruins.
It was creepy and weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was disappointed.
It almost was too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was bummed out. I did think, like, all of a sudden, saving JFK led to some apocalyptic future for us. I'm like,
yes.
Man, all right. That's kind of disappointing, because then it sets a deck that, you know, you have to go change this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have liked to seen, like, history was okay, but maybe just different enough that Jake still felt a need to maybe go fix things. But this, I mean, there really was no choice. He's like, yeah, I got to go back.
It really was apocalyptic.
Yeah. And we don't know exactly why. We just know there's some kind of war and the bombs came.
Right? Yes. Kennedy camps.
Yeah, yes. He said in 1965, talking 65 was the bombings, and Harry, when he meets Harry,
which
again,
is a nice touch, yes.
Who knew that he would see him again, which I thought was interesting, I like that play, says, quote, after the bombings, it was the only place to go with the refugee camps in 1965.
Yes, and that they weren't a great place either. You find out that they weren't. Like, and that Kennedy instituted those once he got out of office, and it was a bad place. Like, his mom died there of the flu. His brother got drafted in the militia, never saw him again.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to be. And it was interesting that Harry, it was good to see Harry in the sense that you can see that, you know, he had the what Jake did in going and killing his father. It did change Harry's future, for sure, just individually. I mean, and also globally by saving Kennedy. Mm-hmm. But it was weird that he also ended up back in Lisbon, regardless. Like, you would think, like, all right, if your father had been killed and you guys were just raised off, depending on whatever these Kennedy camps were, but that he ended up right there in Lisbon again to meet Jake.
Yeah, it was too much. I thought it was too much. But in order to make him go back and kind of reset, I see what they had to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm with you, Frank, in that I was thinking, man, there's no way it would be that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a third world country.
It was. It was just all ruins. And I was like, what is this all about? I can't imagine that. Who knows? And perhaps in the book, they kind of go out and explain a little bit more about how the world changed if Kennedy lived. And maybe you can understand more of the justification for that. But this, it just seems so. When I only heard, like, oh, and then the bombs happened. And you're like, well, I don't know enough about why this world took such a weird right turn.
Yeah.
Just by saving Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought I was hoping that it wouldn't have been such a drastic change in the future because of Kennedy, and like maybe it was okay, but like a little bit different, like just bad enough. But really, his decision to go back was about his girl.
Yeah,
about Sadie instead of like, oh well, I guess. And he didn't ever explore outside of Lisbon. Maybe Lisbon was just fucked.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. Is it
like
just
everywhere else? Yeah, fine. Just
everything else
is like extra good, but Lisbon is like no good anymore. Selfish.
And it was interesting when Harry recognizes Jake, and I'm trying to think, like, I guess he was what, 5 or 6 when that happened, when he was back there and he killed his father in front of him there. I'm trying to think if 5 or 6. I guess seeing some kind of important life event. I guess. You would maybe that person's face would be locked into your head.
Yeah.
So you couldn't help but recognize that person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, you know.
But for him to specifically say, I knew I would see you again.
Like, man, really?
And I think we need to point out how great of a job Leon Rippey was.
Man,
he slayed that last episode.
Yes. And I thought that moment there where they, you know, you killed my father, but he still breaks down like, that was my dad.
Yeah.
He still cries over that moment, even as much of a monster as he could have been. It was still my dad.
Aww. He was so good.
Yeah.
Such an emotional part, and I think he played it really well.
Yeah. And then I do like Jake goes back to the rabbit hole, but he's got to kind of make his way through some thugs outside that burned down.
Yeah,
the
and like
the
jumps
diner.
Through. Which,
that, in trouble.
With how completely destroyed that diner was, nobody else has like, found the rabbit hole.
Exactly.
Come on.
I'm thinking everybody should have fallen through that.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it's like a one-of-a-time thing.
Yeah, those thugs just happen to see him just disappear. Oh, I wonder where he went. I'm not going to go explore that.
Yeah, maybe the rabbit hole is single occupancy. Yeah, you know, somebody's in there, and the other guy's just trapped from some different rabbit hole. I don't know. It
like
doesn't work.
Being John Malkovich, kind of.
Yeah, like only one person can be in there at a time, single occupancy. Sorry.
Possibly.
Yeah. So clearly, everything is so terrible that Jake feels he's got to go back and fix everything. So he jumps back through the rabbit hole, or just kind of flops through there as he's beating his way through those. But leave me alone. I don't want to do anything. And it comes back right there, back in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool because we'd set it up before that Sadie had family up there in Lisbon. Mm-hmm. And that she had spent some time with her visiting during that same time. But to notice that she's the girl in the backseat of that Cadillac as it's driving by.
Which
that was a
I
nice little touch.
Never caught. And I wanted to go back and double check in those earlier episodes because I'm sure that it is her.
Yes.
Because they spread it out enough because we didn't see her until like 3 or 4 episodes in, right?
Mm-hmm. Saw her the first time in Dallas on the bench.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was cool, and he just goes off like a bat out of hell, chasing her down to the soda shop,
mm-hmm.
and then just have that little awkward moment there where you know so much about this person, but that person, from this point of view, does not know you at all.
Which, and I was a little weirded out at her being like,
yes.
Okay, tell me more about myself.
I think that's a 1960 thing, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, you know, in 1960s in Lisbon, Maine, you assume innocence, and everyone is just a good person. Mm-hmm. There's no creepers in 1960 Lisbon, Maine.
Especially ones as handsome as James Franco.
Oh, my goodness, right?
Yeah. So she's just like, whatever.
Looking dapper in that suit.
Like, no, he just came out of the rain in the apocalypse.
Yeah, he's looking all
over. He's still wearing the same clothes from... Oh, no, he would have changed because he had to drive to... I thought it was the same day as the assassination.
He's still wearing the suit.
Yeah, because he got arrested from the cops, and so he was on the bus that whole time. So he went right from the
cops
to the
bus
station.
And he still had the...
Yeah, the little cut on his face. Yeah, so...
I guess you don't want to risk anything. You're just like, let's just get back. No time for a shower.
But then who comes in to kind of ruin the moment there is the man with the yellow car there. And says,
oh, creeping out the door. Him. He's like, yes. Sir, is that guy with you?
That's who's right. Back again.
Yes. And
so
I thought that was a great conversation. He's like, where he tells Jake, like, all right, that's it. You find your own rabbit hole. You're stuck in the loop.
Yeah,
you're caught.
This is you.
Yeah. No matter what you do, Sadie's always going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like... Because as much as Jake says, no, I'm going to change it. I'm not going to kill. I'm not going to save Kennedy. I'm not going to do anything with Harry's family. All I want is just to have Sadie with me. And the guy, the hobo man, is like, no, it's always going to happen this way. She's always going to die in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And then weirdly enough, Sadie does come out to like continue the conversation. Like, who are you anyway?
That
was weird to me. Like, but they have that moment where they hold hands for a second. And I was curious to see what Jake was going to do. Was he going to say, just come with me?
I was thinking he would push her back. I was thinking it just the way. You know, Jake, as a teacher, as a philosophical man who thinks through things, I just had a feeling that he would leave it. He would leave it be, realize that it was for the best.
Mm-hmm. But I wonder if it's only because of that encounter with the hobo man, giving him that little extra nudge, like, no matter what you do, she's going to die.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he would have stayed.
Or at the very least, try to change everything again and be kind of stuck in that rabbit hole.
Try to bring her back through the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I was so curious. At the very least, why not just grab her and take her with you?
Right. Oh, gosh. So if the rabbit hole, so assume it is single occupancy, and he, like, puts her in first, and now she's, like, trapped in 2016. She doesn't know what's happening.
And he's stuck there.
And now he's like, can't get in.
Yeah.
That would be awful. And she's just like, what did you do? Everyone's holding their phones.
But I admired it. It was nice. I thought they earned that moment there where he kind of let her go. As hard as you could imagine how hard it would be for him, as much as he was loved. And seeing her die in front of him, to all of a sudden have this chance to have her back alive in front of him and still be willing to let her go.
Or even to just live for a day, live for a year.
Yeah.
You know, but at that point you get addicted and it's harder and harder and harder to say no.
I would agree. Yeah. So he goes back to the future, 2016, and everything's set back to normal. There we go. Everything kind of gets reset, which is, you know, all right. Everybody feeling good. And we see him back there teaching class. You know,
all
just
sad.
Yeah, all sad.
All
still bummed out.
There. And no ex-wife at all.
No.
Again, another prediction possibility that we had thought of.
Yeah. Yes.
She's just out of the picture.
Yeah, so it was interesting to see, like, why we had those flashes of her when Jake was kind of in that coma.
Mm-hmm.
To not really see that kind of lead to anything either. It's like, do we need those moments in there? I don't know. But then, I guess like anybody does these days, you always want to Google up and...
You can't do in 1960.
Yeah, see how your ex is doing.
So when he's sitting at the computer and he types it in and then hesitates and decides not to before he actually does, there is no scenario ever that I would not look it up.
Yeah, why
I was like,
not?
There's no scenario at all.
What's the hurt in looking?
Right, I was just like, all right, let's just check.
Just because you're full doesn't mean you can't look at the menu.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst case scenario, she passed away again. I mean, right. But given,
like, she dies no matter what, whether, because he could have, like, say he finds out that she's going to die even if he doesn't save her or, like, go back, then maybe you just go back and be with her anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
But you think it was almost 60 years since he had last seen her, a little over 60 years. So, I mean, even just by old age, she could have just, 50 years, she could have passed away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you can't feel like Googling her right now shouldn't be like any kind of hesitation at all. I agree with you, Mary Lou.
But it just so happens that she had just won the Texas Woman of the Year.
That's right. Look at that. Look at how she does. And he goes down to watch the award ceremony. And we see older Sadie played by Constance Tower, who is on GH, is Helena Cassidyne. Really great actress. So it was cool to see her do something. She plays a real villain on that series. So it was cool to see her in, like, a really kind of sweet, kind of warm role on this. I'm like, all right. She's really heavily makeuped on GH. And so it was, like, very, like, you know, like, all right.
GH, General Hospital?
General
Hospital. Are you watching a lot of General Hospital?
I'm on General Hospital after
show,
guys.
He's on the after show.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were a daytime drama guy.
I'm just a man of many layers. but then we'd see she does a little speech. Mm-hmm. She name checks Deke. And Miss Mimi gets no shout out though.
Miss Mimi, why?
Yes.
In her speech, she mentions Deke's poem.
Yes.
Which is all about, you know, we did not ask for this room or this music. And kind of talking about and it really talks about the circumstances.
You've got the whole poem. Let's hear it.
We did not ask for this room or this music. We were invited in. Therefore, because the dark surrounds us, let us turn our faces to the light. Let us endure hardship to be grateful for plenty. We have been given pain to be astounded by joy. We have been given death to deny life to deny death. We did not ask for this room or music, but because we are here, let us dance.
There you go. Michael Klaus, everybody. Michael Klaus.
I wrote that. Does poetry. Pocket squares from Japan.
Ladies.
Hello. He's got chapstick on.
It's true. Blistex. Like to keep my lips nice and... I don't know where I'm going to go. And Sadie, when she's finishing that, looks directly at Jake.
Yes.
Has that connection. And I like it.
Yeah? You're into it.
Just enough of that kind of like moment where he's like, do I know this person?
I felt like it would have been a little more like, wait... You're the guy that I saw. Because in this reality now, they have interacted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They have seen each other.
Yeah, and I would think that it wouldn't be one of those things, and maybe you might not remember that face, but if Jake had said as they're dancing, like, hey, remember back in 1960, I met you back up in Lisbon, and we talked outside, and I was really dirty, and I held your hand for a second. I think you'd remember that encounter.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He mentions that he's from Lisbon, too.
Yes.
So, but there's no connection. A little creepy to have him have that attraction to such an old woman.
I don't know. I liked it, though. I think, like, you know, certainly he was so in love with her.
Are you okay with attraction to older women Frank?
But I think it's, physically, who knows? Hubba. You know, Constance Tower,
implied it. Well, when they're dancing and he just sees the Sadie he knows. Yes. And I think that's what it is.
Yes, I know.
Michael.
Still creepy.
Love doesn't have age.
Yeah, I love those gifts, you know.
Age is just a number.
Jake has the DJ play one of their songs that they used to dance to back when he was with Sadie. And they just have a little chat, and Jake asks, you know, have you had a good life? And I think I can only imagine that's the only question you would have for somebody that you loved and let go because you were worried that something
their happiness is number one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I admit, I was a sucker for the last line. It's like, you know, it's when she says, because she said it before back in 1960 when they met again. It's like, I swear, I know you. Who are you? And he says, someone you knew in another life, which I was like, that's a really nice line to end.
Aww.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The sappiness, and that's this whole episode, I think, is it ends at a good point. It ends on a happy note, and it ends with contentment.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, as a one-season miniseries show, I like that they ended it with contentment.
Yeah.
Is that you can be happy with the way it ended. You can obviously look back. But in general, you're like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're good.
Yeah, and I feel good about it for Jake's arc that he did learn something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might not have succeeded in this mission or that mission. Mm-hmm. He didn't, like, end up with the girl really. But he learned a lesson. He learned about himself of, like, you know, live a happy life, you know, and like wanting something for somebody else, you know. So he got to live a life of love that he might not have had with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
You know,
he still could have that.
And
now he can go back to her and be like, you know what? I, I tried some other things out. Yeah. You know, it's not going to work. So, hey.
It's only been 2 days. Jake, what do you mean you tried other stuff out? Well.
You look That's true. That's true. Older.
But because people always use, like, in another life, we could be this or that. And you always hear that used in TV shows, films, things like stories like that. Mm-hmm. But they used it like this and with the ramification that, yes, in another life, they actually were all of that. I feel like it added a little bit more weight to that line than I've seen before when it's been used. So that was 11/22/63. That was it.
Overall thoughts, positive, negatives, where would you rank it on a scale of 1 to 10? What do you think?
Because I love time travel stories so much that I wanted to see more elements that I felt like I didn't get that I thought were maybe happen, I would probably give it a 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was feeling it like a 7 or 8. I really liked the first few episodes. I thought were super, super strong. Mm-hmm. But also, because I'm a big time travel fan, I felt a lot of the time travel stuff was in play there. And then when it got to the second half of the episodes, it wasn't so much time. It was just you happen to be in the 60s trying to accomplish a thing. Mm-hmm. Not so much of a time travel or time fighting back or butterfly effect really causing him trouble until the finale. You know, like he wasn't altering too much. Because of everything that he did, like, he's interacting with lots of people. It's not just, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald. He's interacting with a whole town integrated into this community. And there was not much butterfly effect in that.
No.
You know, and you know, like, Back to the Future, I want to see, like, people disappearing from pictures and, you know, Biff 1985, which is now, you know, hopefully not our future.
And Michael, what about yourself?
I would give it, personally, as far as enjoyment, I would probably give it a high 7 or an 8. Mm-hmm. As far as, like, actually critiquing it, I would probably go with a high 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. And I would say the difference is that I really enjoy certain parts of this, time travel, politics, and the JFK. So I really enjoyed learning about that. And then also, I think James Franco is an incredible actor, and it was good to see his role here where he is able to kind of get back to those, you know, great acting roots in terms of, and we mentioned this at the first couple of episodes, is that he, in the past several years, has done a lot of comedy, you know, Pineapple Express, things with Seth Rogen, and This is the End, and it doesn't allow you to show how good of an actor you are, and I think he did that in this series, and it was enjoyable to watch. Mm-hmm. Getting back to if I would actually critique it, there were some things, like we're talking about with time travel, and just things that, you know, kind of knew certain things were going to happen, that's why I would give it a high 6 or a 7. But if you like politics, if you like time travel, if you like things like that, I would definitely recommend it.
Right. And what I would enjoy telling people if they are asking, like, should I watch this, should I not? Definitely watch it because it's 8 episodes and it definitely ends on a solid note. Like, you know the end of the end, and it's like a nugget of a show. Like, I love a miniseries because when it's done, it's done. It's not like, oh, man, now I need to binge watch another day's worth of stuff. You know, there goes my life. This, you can watch it and then be done with it and be like, oh, all right. Yeah, I feel good at the end.
Well, I mean, Mary Lou, I'm sorry to say, Hulu announced that 11/22/63 is coming back with another season. No, just kidding. That'd be... Somebody else goes down the rabbit hole. No, that would be terrible.
That would be awful.
But as we're talking about, I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show, the writer producer Bridget Carpenter, she had a couple things. And one thing that I thought was different as she was adapting the book into the series is that Billy was just a minor character in the book. And they made him a major character in this series because they needed Jake to have somebody to talk to rather than having to just do a lot of, like, narrator exposition.
Yeah, which is different. I mean, when you're doing a TV series or something with video, it's a lot easier than it is with a book. It's a lot easier with a book than a TV series to have someone act solo.
But I thought that they did a good job, even if he was only just such a minor character in the book, like, making him, like, kind of... Jake was basically seeding the seeds of his own destruction by having Billy come along. So I thought they were able to kind of interweave him and make him more of a major character.
I wish we would have seen Billy in Apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. Or not Apocalyptic, when he went back the second time. See whatever.
Yeah, I was hoping he would have checked on him. Or, like, when he came back to 2016 the second time. Like,
yeah,
he looked
that would
up
be
Sadie.
A second time, yeah.
I wish he would have also stopped by Kentucky, see what he's up to.
Yeah. I don't know. Have some moonshine with Bill.
Yeah.
And it was interesting.
Just buy the man a drink.
Exactly.
Sorry, I killed you in another life.
Yeah, find out where his sister was really buried. Can you do mm-hmm. that? Yeah, I know your sister's buried. It's mm-hmm. fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. but they for the series, there's only two scenes that Jake is not in. The rest of it, since it's all from Jake's point of view, he's in every single scene. The only two scenes that he aren't in is when we see Billy go up to talk to Marina, and then get the book, the Karl Marx book from Lee Harvey Oswald. And then the second one is when that Lee Harvey Oswald's visiting Marina over at her friend's house, and they're having that little conversation right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, other than that, everything is told from Jake's point of view, which I was like, oh, until I thought back and I was like, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So, again, kudos to James Franco for being in pretty much every single scene of this whole thing and still being able to just, like, captivate us the whole way and lead mm-hmm. us through without us going, ugh, James, what are you still doing on the screen?
Yes. Yeah. He did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and something like that you don't notice.
And as we're talking about the end of the book there, in the book, Jake does not go back to save Sadie because the time portal, the rabbit hole, is breaking down. So that's why he can't go back and save her after he kind of resets history. But this one, I thought they made a change for the better in the series, because I thought Jake making that active choice when he was with Sadie in Lisbon in 1960 and deliberately letting her go, I thought that was a more powerful for his character. It made him mm-hmm. more active and made that final scene where he sees Sadie again so much more poignant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, and then it feels better as a viewer to finish that with a choice, like an active choice, as opposed to like, oh, we'll just never know if he could have succeeded. Mm-hmm. Now we know he decided to let her have a happy life on her own.
Yeah. And one last thing is with Jake, we're talking about, and I felt like when I read this, I understood, like, my gosh, you know, we were talking about Sadie and Lee having this connection with, like, wanting to make an impact on history, but not really realizing that Jake had that same kind of quest, wanted to just make some kind of impact on the world. Mm-hmm. And I really, until I read this quote, I was like, yeah, I guess Jake is pretty much like the same as like Lee, but from opposite directions there. Because she says it's a totally insane quest for why Jake wants to go down the rabbit hole and save Kennedy. And I think it speaks to my desire to want to do a thing that matters. And when you're somebody who has a job like a teacher, a job which arguably maybe matters most, but it doesn't feel like it to any teacher, that's mm-hmm. drudgery. That's hard work. And I just thought there was something of a kind of wishful hero, I think, in everybody. And I think that's in Jake. I think it does awaken something. I think it's crazy. It doesn't really make sense. And it's all theoretical. It's a complete theory that you're buying that it might work. And I love the idea that he has a wish to make a bigger impact than he thinks that he's making. So that's why I think he does it. Mm. Yeah, so when I read that, I was like, okay, yeah, I could definitely see he and Lee, two sides of the same coin on mm-hmm. that.
The impact of a teacher is never known until they retire. And mm-hmm. you see with Sadie, mm-hmm. you know, as a librarian, of how many people, and they mention it there in that speech, the person before her says, everyone in this room is here because of you. Because you have touched them, because you have had an impact on their lives. And that is certainly anytime you have a teacher, is that the day-to-day, you're not thinking that it's a lot. You're not thinking that you're having that impact, but it's true. You want to have an impact.
No, very true. And certainly one last thing is they're adapting it from the book to the novel. There is a lot more time spent in the teaching scenes when he's there over in Jodi, just mm-hmm. really enjoying the life of being in the 60s, mm-hmm. really falling in love, just not with Sadie, but just with that time, mm-hmm. just and becoming like really enjoying teaching and the things that he can do back then. That was really a big chunk of the middle of the book that when they're adapting this, Bridget Carpenter's like, you know, I love that stuff. And I think many people say that some of mm-hmm. Stephen King's best writing right in there is during all those teaching scenes and just day-to-day life in Jodi. Mm-hmm. But when they're adapting this, I mean, the hook is you're going back to say, try to prevent yes. Kennedy from being assassinated.
Yes, it doesn't equate well to interesting video.
Yes. And for only
intriguing
8 episodes.
Video,
yeah.
Yes.
When you've got like nine episodes and you're trying to put mm-hmm. this all together, you got to go with the thing that's going to kind of drive the plot mostly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So do you agree? Would you like to see more teaching scenes in there? Or are you satisfied with the amount that we got?
I
was satisfied with it. But, like, alternative ending, though, I might have liked to see him just go back. Because when he did get to Jodi and was just living the life there, it was fine. You know, he was fine outside of, like, Sadie's husband, right? Mm-hmm. So if they know, yeah. you just mm-hmm. got off him early. And then don't place a bunch of bets. Just make money like a real person.
And I would be curious to see what happened with Sadie with her husband, though. Because mm-hmm. I think Jake being there didn't make...
Well, you see that he died. If you read the, and that's something I meant to touch about, when he Googles that thing and says that, you know, she won that Texas Woman of the Year, in the paragraph and two below it talks about how her husband, John, died in a car crash and she became an advocate for automobile safety.
Oh.
Interesting.
I specifically paused that and like went up to the TV and was like, what is this saying?
What did you write? What did you write in here? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so he had died.
That was his fate.
It doesn't say when.
Yeah.
But I love, thank goodness.
Yeah, I love when a show does that. They add that extra detail in there that you might not notice, and it doesn't matter. But if you pause, it's actually, it's not like just like a dummy type on that page. It's actually they went into to make a real news article with all the information that you'd want to need.
Yeah, because they know fools like Michael Klaus are going to pause it and read all of it.
Yes,
that's wonderful.
Those details.
I love it.
Also, man. I'm really happy that James Franco is in a. He's shooting right now a television series that's going to air next year called The Deuce. Which is a little more of a serious acting role for him.
Good.
It takes place in the 1980s, I believe, in New York, and like kind of crime and mob a little bit.
I thought it was all about pooping. No, it's not about pooping.
Not exact. Not that deuce. not all that right. deuce.
All right.
So, but it's good, and you know, it's another TV series that he's doing. I believe it's 10 episodes, at least now, and it comes out next year, so we got a little while. But it is another serious acting role for Mr. James Franco.
Yes, more James Franco on TV.
Woo! Well, we're wrapping up here for our 11-22-63 after show, but one last question for the two of you there. Right now, we've got a second here. Just tell us who, each of you, tell us who is your favorite person here on the panel.
That's a...
It starts with the letter F. No? Okay. Let's not get into it. One last...
Was it the Frank that showed up on time?
That's
my favorite one.
He never came here.
Yes, what do you got, James?
I got a question for the panel.
All right.
Any inspirational teachers in your lives that you can remember? Or the flip side of that, a teacher that was like so bad that you hated so much that he inspired you to like never treat people a certain way?
I
can't call anyone out.
I had a teacher in high school. Her name was Miss Pear, and
juicy.
She was really old by that point, and she'd just kind of given up. And it would be when she'd turn her back, people would throw gummy bears at her, and when they'd stick on the chalkboard, she would then just go over and she'd circle them.
That's wonderful.
Yes,
that's so great. I had a teacher in middle school. It was Miss Ovi, and you know, like pretty young at this point. He was like an English teacher, and we had like some kind of writing prompt, and I wrote whatever the short story was. And when she read it, and like she like talked to me afterwards, she's like, you know, your writing is so much like mine. And that, as a middle schooler, I was like, what? My writing is like an adult that like teaches English, and it, you know, it just meant a lot to me. You know, I don't remember much other, many other lessons, but it was like, oh, like I, you know, am a human person that's not like belittled because I'm a child.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I had two, both were in elementary school, one a little more than the other. First was my kindergarten teacher, whose name was Gwen Piggott, and she taught for 50 years as a kindergarten teacher. That's a lot of kids. She was just great. And obviously I was really young, but I always remember her just being a really quality teacher, really good. And then the other one was my third grade teacher, Mrs. Kingsbury, who was just, she was so creative and was fun and allowed you to learn in a fun manner. And so it was one of those things that kids had respect for her where you also had fun. And so it was a good balance. And she would, big Vikings fan. And so she would always bring in, if the Vikings won, like a can of grape soda on Monday, and we'd have like a drawing for who it was. Now, granted, I lived in Wisconsin, so we wanted the Vikings to lose. But if they did win, the positive was that you got a can of grape soda. But she was a great teacher. I made an impact. And I've thanked her, you know, several times because it's just, it's nice for them to hear that and know as you've grown up that that impact is still there.
Yeah, and I definitely have a few teachers that are now on Facebook that, you know, like through school, like alumni stuff.
Crazy,
like you like
right?
connect with them. And it's so great because they're definitely ones that I remember fondly being like impactful during like hard times that I had in high school that were like just always really encouraging and, you know, helpful and let me talk about problems that are now like still will comment on things of like, you're doing great, like keep going, keep, you know, like they're still teaching and they're still part of your life because of social media.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I remember just last one is I had a fifth grade teacher, Mr. Tomac, who he was a science teacher, but he didn't care about like us doing science projects. He'd have us do video projects, so we could shoot little movies.
That's the best.
Shoot little movies, and we just me and Jim Cash, we shot a little.
Is that Johnny's brother?
Yeah, I wish little movie where Blue Jeans killed us all. So it was great. Attack of the Killer Blue Jeans. It was a hot movie, guys. That'll be coming to a theater never at all.
VHS.
Yes. So, folks, as I said, that's going to be our last episode, 11-22-63. We hope you've enjoyed the ride. We've enjoyed having the conversation with you folks on Twitter.
We need to have another panel together.
Yes.
Yeah, anyone still watching the show, hit us up.
Absolutely.
Happy to answer questions.
And while 11/22/63 after show may be ending, all three of us, we do other after shows here at After Buzz. Mm-hmm. Mary Lou, where can they follow you, and what other shows are you doing?
You can find me on all social media at Mary Lou Mandel, MariLouMandl. I'm currently on the Broad City after show. Which is also almost over, so I need to get on something else.
All right. We're going to find something else. Well, you'll see the three of us back together again, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Michael Klaus, you can find me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC, on Twitter at Michael Klaus TV. The other after show that I'm doing right now is House of Cards. So good. The fourth season of that is actually tomorrow night, Wednesdays at 8 o'clock.
All right, and you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie, and you can see me on the GH after show right
here.
There
we go.
Yeah, there you go. You can see me on the Crowded after show, the Venture Brothers after show, Legends of Tomorrow after show. I could go on and on, but hey, actually, let's take that moment. Let's go on and on about me. No, we're not going to do that. Thanks so much for watching the show, folks. Like us on Facebook. Give us a big 5 stars on iTunes. Catch us around here in other AfterBuzz shows. Thank you so much for joining us for 11/22/63.
Adios.
See you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.